So thank you. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 1. And we had a very busy week last week. We had two funerals that I was at that, was not a very pleasant time, but actually there was some good that came out of it. And we had a couple of wedding rehearsals and weddings, and a lot of other wonderful things that went on during that time. And so it was great to have a brand new wedding, at least a couple. So I asked them if they're going to start having children right away so that we can populate. But they said they're not going to do it for another 5 years. So that's what I heard. So, well, we'll just have to wait. I can't wait to see the little baby. I was excited about this wedding. So it was great to be part of that wedding. Now they're all grown up and married. Thank you, Jesus. Pastor Ken is happy. So did you find Proverbs 4 and verse 1? We're looking at the Amplified Bible, the classical edition. And we're talking about growing in wisdom. Growing in wisdom. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 1. I'm reading the Amplified Classical. He says, "Hear, my sons, the instruction of a father, and pay attention in order to gain to know intelligent discernment, comprehension, and interpretation of spiritual matters." Verse 5, a New Living Translation, Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 5 says, "Get wisdom. Get wisdom. Develop good judgment. Don't forget my words or turn away from them." Proverbs 4 and verse 5, the New Living Translation. The idea we want to have tonight is that we can all find wisdom. We all can get wisdom for every area of our lives. I'm sure we want to do that. We have looked at two kinds of wisdom in the past, and the Bible talks about two kinds of wisdom there. We have seen there's two ways to deal with life. You can use godly wisdom, or you can use ungodly wisdom or unspiritual wisdom. You can use carnal wisdom. For instance, you can get money by stealing and using wicked ways to obtain money. That would be information or ways to get finance. Or you can do it the way godly people do, work and find ways to get employment and find ways you can have business to you can get money. So you can get people to do things for you. You can lie to them. You can intimidate them by different knowledge of how to touch people's hearts and how to change them and how to do different things. You can use ungodly wisdom to make people do things for you. Or you could use godly wisdom. You can pray and apply godly information with people, and they can want to do stuff for you because they love you and appreciate you. So you can use wisdom that is not, the Bible says it's not godly wisdom. It's demonic. Actually, it says that in James. So you can have two kinds of wisdom. It's better to have godly wisdom in order to be successful, because it's not going to come back on you. If you use ungodly wisdom, somehow that's going to unravel and get out of hand somewhere along the way. We have seen God wants us to have wisdom, and today we will see walking in wisdom is possible for every single area of our lives. So we talked about this as a working definition. We said the meaning of wisdom is the comprehensive insight and knowledge of God's ways and God's purposes in life. So God has a purpose, and He wants us to have that wisdom so that we can actually flow with His purpose, flow with His plan, flow with His agenda. So we said wisdom is the comprehensive insight into the knowledge of God's ways and purposes. Now, let me just say here that wisdom, when we talk about wisdom has to do with the future. Wisdom always has to do with future. So if you want to have wisdom, it always has some kind of meaning about what's going to happen next. I don't know if you ever heard the word wisdom. There's a scripture in the Bible, 1 Corinthians chapter, I believe it's, what is it, chapter 13, is it? Or 12, excuse me, 12, verses 7 to 11. There's itemized for us, there's what they call gifts of the Spirit. One of the gifts of the Spirit is the word of wisdom. That has to do, the word of wisdom has to do with events that are occurring in the future. That are occurring in the future. Word of knowledge has to do with events that are happening now or in the past. So word of wisdom always has to do with something in the future. When you have a word of wisdom, when someone gives you a word of wisdom, and say someone, a friend of yours, was moved by the Holy Spirit, and God gives them knowledge about a plan that's going on that God wants you to do. So God will give you a word of wisdom. It has to do with something in the future, so that if you would begin to apply this knowledge, certain events would follow or success. And if you didn't apply that wisdom, they would not follow, even though the Spirit of God manifests himself. You understand what I'm saying? So word of wisdom has to do with events happening in the future. Or let's just say this now when we talk about wisdom. Wisdom always has to do with future. Something's going to happen. So you always want to, when you're walking in wisdom, you always want to have the correct information so that things will fall into place or go better with your life in the future. And so we need to also clarify that when we're talking about wisdom has to do with skillful living. So when we talk about wisdom, it's about skillful living. It's about learning how to apply knowledge correctly. Because you can apply knowledge incorrectly. You can tell somebody something. It might not be the right time to tell somebody something. They might not be ready for it. You could detrimentally hurt them and put them back in life. There's just time you have to wait and learn to apply knowledge or give that knowledge to someone so that you don't devastate someone. So wisdom, as I want to mention two things today. Number one is wisdom always has to do with future. And number two, wisdom has to do with being skillful in life, learning to apply knowledge correctly. So we can all grow in wisdom. We see here that Jesus himself, the scripture says that in Luke chapter 2:52, that Jesus himself grew in wisdom. He was able to grow and apply whatever knowledge he grew in wisdom. We all need to grow in wisdom. We all need to develop learning about God, mainly God's word, so that we can start learning how to live right. And you don't want to be, you know, working with people that are not full of wisdom, because they can hurt you. If you live with someone of working with people who don't have wisdom, they don't apply wisdom properly, they can hurt your business, they can hurt your ministry, they can hurt your relationships, they can hurt different things. So you want the people, notice something, you know, the Lord, the Holy Spirit prompting me to look at the sixth chapter of the book of Acts. If you mind, go to sixth chapter of the book of Acts with me. The sixth chapter of the book of Acts. I'm going to look at the King James here and read it from my Bible, my Holy Bible. And let's go look at verse 1, King James Version. And in those days, when the number of disciples was multiplied, there rose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews because of their widows were neglected in daily ministration. Of course, the word ministration means service, or another word for that ministration means deaconing or serving, because they all mean the same thing. Then the 12 called the multitude together, or disciples unto them, and said to them, is that reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables? In other words, these guys, their main function was to study the word, pray, and serve the word of God, because if they were doing all the, what they say, menial or practical tasks, they would not have time to worship and pray and get messages from God. So they had to, their main, as you see this in the scriptures itself, it tells you that, it gives you that interpretation. So it says, it's not reason for us that we should leave the word of God and serve tables, that's verse 2. Verse 3 says, wherefore, brethren, look ye out among 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom. Everybody say, wisdom. Full of the Holy Ghost. Say, honest report. When he talks about honest report, he's talking about a good reputation. So the disciples were looking for people in their ministry that would have these three qualities. The Holy Spirit wants wise people working in church. You know, say for instance, if somebody was missing for a long time in church, and they came in for the very first day after being away for 6 years, messing up and all that, and you know, and they walk in the church, and you look at them and say, "I knew you would be back. Where have you been?" You know, that would not be wisdom. You know, you wouldn't want to say and discourage that person the very first day. That happened to me once. I prayed for a number of years, trying to get one minister to come with us to meet with the pastors, and he had his own ministry in the city. I was trying to encourage him to come to this pastoral group in our city, and the very first day he came to that meeting, he got into somebody said something really bad to him and then hurt him, and he never came back again. So all my work went down, but I still have a relationship with this person. So it's not wise to say certain things all the time. So you can see right there from this verse of scripture. The scripture talks about in here, it says, wherefore, brethren, look ye out among yourselves 7 men of honest report. Honest report is actually means that your reputation is intact. You need to have a reputation, you know, not only inside the church, but outside the church. So people can look at you, you know, if you're representing any ministry, I think, you know, if you're working for any ministry, they would tell you, you know, your behavior, you know, you got to watch what you do on your Facebook. I mean, when we went through our professional years in university, our third and fourth years of study, and by this time some of us were already studied for 6 years or whatever, because we've gone through college and university, and they told us, if you're going to be working with people, you can't be messing up on the weekends, dancing on tables, getting drunk, fighting with your wife. And Monday morning, you're expecting to help those people in your office on Monday, because you have to have a good reputation, you know, all the time. So that would be wisdom to apply that kind of knowledge. So honest report, a good reputation, full of the Holy Ghost. They were saying that you need to have people full of the Holy Spirit, full of the Spirit. You know, when people are full of the Holy Spirit, they're not full of themselves. They're not full of anger. They're not full of anything else. If you're full of the Holy Spirit, you're full of the Holy Spirit. You're just flowing with the Spirit of God, the anointing of God, the freshness of God, and you're ready to help people. So full of the Holy Ghost. God wants all of us to be full of the Holy Ghost, not to be full of anger and full of resentment, full of strife. God wants us to have full of the Holy Ghost. You know, when you're full of the Holy Ghost, you're agreeable. You know, it's like when someone is drinking, you know, they, if you drink, any number of you have probably noticed that, if you drink anything, if you're sane, you start to feel good. If you ever drank, people drink alcohol or liquor to feel good. No one drinks to feel bad. You know, everybody drinks to feel good. So this actually the scripture tells us in Ephesians, be drunk, be not drunk with wine, but be drunk, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Yeah. So it's like, you know, the devil, that's the devil's counterfeit, is using alcohol to get people drunk. So when people get drunk, they act different, don't they? You get braver, don't you, when you follow the Holy Ghost or booze. But when you get drunk, when you get filled with the Holy Spirit too, you're braver to do things in Jesus' name. Step out and do things, right? Right? And then you're not embarrassed. I know when the Holy Spirit comes on me, when I'm ministering, like with healing and stuff, I'll say things and do things that I would shake my head after doing. When the anointing leaves me, I said, how did that happen? Because it's not you. You're filled with the Spirit. You're doing something different. So I don't have that kind of anointing come on me very often here because it's a different setting, different kind of a ministry, a pastoral ministry. But full of the Holy Ghost. So God, says, can you determine, if you look around your life to find out who has a good reputation around you, can you tell? Huh? Can you tell if someone in church or around you is full of the Holy Ghost or full of something else? Yeah, you can tell. Yeah. Now notice this. He says, and wisdom. Everybody say wisdom. If you look around your own life, you can tell whether somebody has wisdom. And if somebody keeps making the wrong decisions over and over and over again, and they keep making the wrong decisions, you shake your head and say, what's wrong with this guy? He has no wisdom. He has no foresight. Remember we talked about that wisdom is about foresight. Having understanding what's going to happen if I do certain things. So we have to have God's wisdom. God tells us what happens if we apply a word to our lives, what's going to happen next. You can tell who's going to be successful. Okay. You can tell who's going to be successful in life by watching their moves regularly. So you don't want to be, you want to appear that you are wise and you want to be wise. You know, we get the word wisdom. It's the opposite of the word we find moron. I know you ever heard anybody hear that? And when we were in school, we used to hear that, you're a moron, you know. We talked about moron means you're witless, you're low of information, all these things. But you don't want to be somebody that appears that way. So God himself, in his word, tells us, it's good to have people who are wise working in your ministry, working in church, working with you. You want to have people who are wise working with you. You don't want to have people messing up, spending all kinds of money, and then your business is in debt, and you're always trying to cover up for them. Are you guys doing okay?
No.
Okay. All right. Listen. Look at shke. Over there. Let's go. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15. That means, look at. That means that, that's when I'm saying, shke. That means that, that's an Ojibwe. That means, watch, what's happening. So Ephesians 5, 15 says this. See that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. God wants us to not walk circumspectly. We don't use that word. Well, I'm going to walk circumspectly. No, but not as fools, but as wise. God wants us to walk wise. He wants us to conduct our affairs in a manner that is wise. You know, no one wants to work with a fool. Now, let's look at the Ephesians, the same verse, Ephesians 5 in the Amplified Classical Edition. As I mentioned to you, the Amplified gives you the key word or the key phrase in a verse, so that it will become much more, clearer to us when we're reading the scriptures. So Ephesians 5, 15, the Amplified Classical, it says, look carefully then how you walk. Does God want us to walk carefully? He does. Live purposefully and worthily and accurately, not as unwise and witless, there we get that word, moron, witless, but as wise, sensible, intelligent people. God wants us to have this kind of information so that we can be wise with our lives. Let's look at, if there's any time that we need to walk wise using wisdom today, God's word, is right now. We need to have wisdom or to be wise in every area of our lives, every arena. God wants us to be wise. Let's look at a couple more scriptures to help us discern and what we need to see here. The Apostle Paul said to the church at Colossae, Colossians chapter 4, verse 5, the King James Version. He says, walk in wisdom towards them that are without, redeeming the time. What is he talking about? The writer says that we should be able to, when he says walking in wisdom, Colossians, can you pull that up in another version? Colossians 4, let's see here. We'll just leave it at that. So in other words, what God wants us to do is actually want us to walk in a way so that other people outside the church will see that you're not a kook, that you're not crazy. Like sometimes, you know, what happens to Christians, you know, we react because we are genuinely, all of us want to have someone to get saved. We do certain things. Sometimes we just jump out ahead when we have information and we pound people with scripture and we try to lay hands on them really quickly because they don't want you to lay hands on them and you just lay hands on them right away. Maybe it's not the right time to lay hands on somebody right away. They're not ready for you to touch them. They're not ready for you to, maybe they're sensitive about you touching them. I don't know. There's all kinds of stuff that people have problems with because they might have been abused before or something like that. So you have to use wisdom, right? So God wants us to have a behavior that is appealing to people outside. As Christians, we all want to be helpful to people, but sometimes we push people back by our enthusiasm. We don't have we have a lot of zeal, but we don't use wisdom. We push people back sometimes before we can actually help them. And so that's why we need to be careful when we are applying, charismatic. Sometimes we kind of get crazy. And there's time when you have Holy Ghost meetings and everybody understands about the Holy Ghost meetings and everybody's laughing and crying and doing all kinds of stuff. But if you got people, guests, sometimes you could push people away. They don't understand all that. God wants us to have the gift of the Spirit, but sometimes we have to watch how we're doing stuff. So God wants us, let's go to Colossians 4, 5, the Amplified. That's what I was looking for, right? Amplified, the classical edition. Colossians 4 and verse 5. Let's go look at this again. Behave yourself wisely, living prudently with discretion. So prudently actually means to have discretion. So in your relations with those outside, with the outside world, the non-Christians, making the very most of time and seizing and buying up the opportunity. Because you might not ever have that opportunity again to impress someone for Jesus. You might mess it up for the next guy. He said, hey, I met one of you before, and you're a crazy guy. I don't want anything to do with you again. So we have to be able to be wise with stuff and don't try to force people, put them in the corner. I remember, when we're all excited about getting saved. You know, some of us got filled with the Holy Spirit. And we go to a house party, like a house party, or we have fellowship, and we have a friend, and we brought a friend there who is not a Christian or not, just a new believer. And we all want to get him to be filled with the Holy Spirit. So we all want to lay hands on him and give him, ramble off a few scriptures and get him filled with the Spirit. And everybody's laying hands on him and telling him, yell louder, pray harder, pray faster, whatever. Do all kinds of crazy things. Then you scare people. So you don't want to do that. So also, if you're in business and they know you're a Christian, you have to be able to live a life that's going to be conducive for your business to win people and have a business relationship with people. And you're not going to act in a way that's going to hurt people. So your business, conduct your business outside the church, in your relationship with outside the church, dealing with every subject available. So here's Proverbs chapter 13, verse 20. Proverbs 13, 20, the Amplified Bible, again, classical edition. He says, "He who walks as a companion with wise men is wise. But he who associates himself with self-confident fools is a fool and is shall smart for it." But you can see something here, that there's an association between, you know, if you're going to hang around good, smart people who are wise, you're going to start to gain more wisdom. You're going to become more wise. But if you associate with people, you're actually being fooled yourself. Why hang around people that are going to pull you down? Right? And, you know, God gave us people around us. God gave us people who could instruct us in the wisdom of God. God put parents in our lives. As you can see with Solomon, his mom and dad was able to give him information about living, how to live wisely. So, as I mentioned, Jesus grew in wisdom. If Jesus can grow in wisdom, like Jesus was a little boy as he developed, he was able to grow and develop in the things as he gathered information and he dealt with life. If it happened to Jesus, it can happen to us. We saw last time we were together, Sunday, we saw that a number of scriptures that Paul prayed for wisdom for the Ephesians. He said, God wants you to have wisdom. We saw that in Colossians, God wanted them to have wisdom. We saw that in Philippians, God wanted them to have wisdom to dealing with things of life. And so we don't want to be left out. So notice Psalm chapter 90, verse 12. 90, verse 12. I'm reading the King James first, then we'll go to New Living, okay? Is that okay? So teach us to number our days. This is Psalm 90, verse 12. So teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. There's a prayer going up. The psalmist is asking for wisdom. And in Psalm 90, verse 12, in the New Living Translation, it says, teach us to realize the brevity of life, or the shortness of life. Life is short, right? So that we may grow in wisdom. So you see here that we can grow in wisdom. And one thing about it, you can be with people who are wise in life. See people conducting themselves financially in a wise way. You can see people conducting themselves in a way in relationships. You can see that with their husband and wife. You can see that there's wisdom involved in there. You can see that in any way. With different people that are not wise with handling relationships. I don't know about you, but I had a horrible time learning how to deal with my own self, and, you know, and then dealing with other people made it even worse than you know. I could have died. I could have done a lot of things. I could have had a mess in my life. But thank God for His mercy. He's able to help me. He's able to help you to get out of situations, and you're here today. So James 4:14, we saw this before. You know, we said that there's more to life than just living every day and eating ice cream. You know, there's more to life than just going for chicken. There's more to life than just going to sleep and waking up tomorrow, going to work. There's more to life than that. There's life has lots of stuff to it. So James 4:14 says, what is your life? It is even but a vapor that appears for a little time and vanishes away. So we said that life is so short. We saw that with other scripture, that life is short. We need wisdom to deal with take advantage of what it said in the other scripture, that we need to take every opportunity of what is available to us. God gives us availability of time with people. You know, some of you that have children at home, small children now, God only gives you a short time with your children. And you're going to pour into them when they're little children. Social scientists or psychologists tell us between the ages of when they're born to 7 is the pivotal time where you actually pour into your child. What you pour into your child will eventually come out somewhere along the line where it will build them up and develop them. And so I learned that from university when I went to school, because they told us that this is important. You also see that in the Bible, that it's important to pay attention to your children. And, you know, the Bible says, teach a child, what is that, how does it go? Teach a child in the way he should go. Remember that? Train them up in the way he should go. That's Proverbs. When they're old, they will not depart from it. So eventually, even if they go, do depart, they'll come back to it. So have faith that the seed you planted in somebody, in your child, that they're going to come back to it. Speak in the name of Jesus over them. That this is the seed of God will always come back, will never come back void, the scripture says. Amen. It always germinates something inside you. I was telling somebody today when I was doing the funeral, I think it was it Friday or when was the funeral? Friday? Okay, I'm getting mixed up here. But I was doing the funeral and I woke up, I stayed up till about 2:30 that day. It was so much going on in my life that week. I got home from the trip, from the other, from the Long Lac funeral. I got home that night and I stayed up till about 2 o'clock, 2:30, and I was writing the sermon because I knew there's going to be different people here from different, different segments of the community. There's going to be some political people. There's going to be some people from the educational, the university, the school, and lots of friends and maybe students and so on. And the Lord gave me, I said, God, you got to give me something. So God gave me a totally different angle on doing the service, and I did the message. And one guy after the service came up to me and said, you know what, can I talk to you? He said, you know, you said a whole bunch of things there in this message that it touched my life. You did something in my spirit. I need to talk with you. So today I was able to talk to that person because they made an appointment, came and talked. Because it made sense to them about this. I've been searching. I'm hungry. I've been searching about life, the afterlife, about God, and all the scriptures are mentioned about the afterlife. How mysterious it is for someone who doesn't know scripture. They don't know what happens when people die. They don't know about angels. They don't know about going in the presence of God. And the moment you die, you're in the very presence of God. You don't hang around here for several days, hovering around in the spiritual realm, poking around and trying to come back, you know, or you take a 7-day journey in some places. You take a journey, and you go across the lake, and you go in some spiritual place, and you hang around there for. I heard all kinds of stories about dying. Have you? What happens? They say some people say a spirit hangs around your house for a little bit, and so on. But the scripture tells us when a person dies, they're in the very presence of Jesus. In fact, if you died, you wouldn't even know if you were outside of your body or not. Amen. You don't feel any different. The scripture tells us that. If you're, the moment you die, I've heard of other people who've actually come out of their bodies when they died, very close to me. In fact, I heard Keith Moore, one of our teachers in Rhema, his spirit came out of his body. Do you remember the book of 1 Corinthians chapter, I think, I can't remember, 2 Corinthians 12, I think it is? Where Paul said, I knew a man in Christ once. Amen. You remember that scripture? Yeah. Yeah. What is that one? I knew a man in Christ once. Whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. The man went to the third heaven and he saw things he cannot explain. Because if you went to heaven and you came down and you tried to explain what heaven is like, you couldn't do it. You can't do it because it's just incredible. Heaven's incredible. And they, when they explain something, it's just like, oh, man, you know. In fact, the prophets, if you read the prophets, they try to explain about heaven and God. You see creatures with, have all kinds of eyes. They got wheels going up and down. You know, And so you know, all kinds of light. God has all kinds of light. And they're trying to explain this thing. They can't explain it. Heaven is a real place. If you were to die tonight and you know Jesus, that's where you'll be. And you won't be, there's no, so I heard, you know, Keith saying, you know, if you die, you shouldn't be afraid to die. And the scripture tells us it's far better. Yes. In fact, I told that on that day, I said, you know, the scripture said, if you die, it's far better. You're in a better place. And if you died, you wouldn't want to come back in this body. When my mother died, she said she left her spirit left her body, and she went up to heaven. She said, I could hear the heavenly choir singing. And when I got there, it was so glorious, so wonderful. And the Lord Jesus told my mother, you cannot come now, you have to go back. So my mother came back and came to and right back into her body. And she said, I was so disappointed when I came back. I heard Brother Hagin said the same thing. He said he came out of his body. And when he came back into his body from his feet, and came back. Different ones. Anyway, when I heard the story with Keith Moore, he said, when my dad died, he said, I took my dad and he was a pilot. He's been trying to ask his dad to come flying with him. His dad was terrified of it, didn't want to go. So one day he got enough courage, he came and flew with him. And so while they're in the air, he died. He died and he felt bad about it. And he felt horrible that his dad died while he took him up there. And then he got condemnation from the devil. The devil started attacking him because you're the reason for it and so on. But what happened one day, he said that Jesus took him to heaven. And he went to heaven. And then when he got to heaven, he saw someone there. He met his dad. His dad didn't look old anymore. He said, he looked like a young man, and I knew it was my dad. Got you thinking, eh? You know, you're not old in heaven. You're about 32. Yeah, there's no more wrinkles. You know, you're going to be, all your teeth will come back. I thank God for that. By the way, I went to the dentist today. He said 3 more months. Brand new teeth coming in. Miracle. Hallelujah. Thank God. Amen. Let's go ahead and pray. Thank God for the word. Say wisdom. Say wisdom has to do with the future. Say wisdom has to do with skillful living. Say I can grow in wisdom, and wisdom is available to me. Let's go ahead and stand up together. Let me close this ceremony. Praise God. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's give thanks to God for wisdom. Let's thank God. The Bible says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. Father, we want to thank you today. We thank you for wisdom to apply to every area of our lives. I thank you for giving me wisdom. I believe, as we've done these services on wisdom, that people have made a change. I believe people are living differently because of it. I believe that people are changed because of it. So I want to thank you, Lord, that wisdom has been given to us, is available, that you want us to grow in wisdom. You want us to be wise. You want us to live intelligently. You want us to develop in every area of our lives. So thank you, Father. So we pray, anyone here with them, that if they're asking for wisdom in the area of their relationships, in the area of their employment or job or career, workplace, relationship in any way with their boss, colleagues, wives and husbands, dealing with children. Thank you, Lord, for wisdom. We ask you in the name of Jesus that you can give us information far beyond our years, far beyond our intelligence, far beyond our education, far beyond, because the wisdom of God has been given to us to be given to use so that we can go further with your kingdom. So we thank you in advance for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.